This is Health Yeah, your weekly update on what's going on in the health, wellness, and medical world with Monica Robbins.
Many of us put COVID-19 in the rearview mirror, but that's not possible for the millions affected by long COVID. That's when a range of symptoms still persist after the infection resolves.
We know that long COVID is real. We're still looking for the cause.
We'll explore why that is and what's being done to help millions. Plus, how long COVID symptoms differ between children and adults. And COVID nearly took a Colorado woman's chance to ever run again.
I had no appetite. I lost 30 pounds.
This and much more straight ahead on Prescription for Life. Welcome to Prescription for Life. I'm Monica Robbins. We know a lot about COVID since 2020, but 4 years later, there's much that remains a mystery. And long COVID is one of those mysteries. Long after COVID is gone, some people report having symptoms such as brain fog, numbing or tingling, headache, dizziness, blurred vision, tinnitus, and fatigue. What we don't know is why some people develop long COVID while others don't. An estimated 17 million adults currently have long COVID. An expert who is the medical director of a long COVID clinic in Cleveland joins us in a bit to talk about how to diagnose it and how to treat it. But first, a woman who ended up with a host of problems after getting COVID in 2020. I talked with her about the physical and mental toll that changed her life.
The pictures are a window into the world of Samantha Leskowitz.
I feel like a shell of the person I used to be.
Who she used to be, a nurse, newly engaged and excited about the future. That was March of 2020. Shortly after COVID's arrival in Northeast Ohio, Samantha tested positive.
I just kept getting sicker and sicker. I eventually ended up with double pneumonia. My lung basis collapsed, and I just became bedbound for 3 months.
She kept waiting for her health to turn the corner, to get better. Instead, new symptoms kept coming.
Just talking to my doctor, I'm like, I'm still not better. Anything I keep doing, I'm getting worse, or I'm getting new symptoms each month, or each week, or each day.
Today, at age 26, Samantha battles a long list of symptoms and ailments, including, but not limited to, chest pain, joint pain, shortness of breath, muscle spasms, migraines, and debilitating fatigue. She's also been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, POTS, a syndrome causing her to faint, a bleeding disorder, and now Lyme disease, none of which she had before COVID.
Basically, it's just attacking my nervous system now. I have 33 different Cleveland Clinic doctors. They've all been amazing and like super understanding.
The physical toll is matched only by the mental toll many COVID long haulers face. Isolation, disbelief, lack of support, and loss of the previous lives. A condition recognized as prolonged grief disorder is now part of the COVID discussion.
They don't know if they will ever get their functioning back to where they used to be. They don't know how long they'll be out of work. They have no idea sometimes what is even causing the symptoms that they're going through.
What has helped Samantha? Her husband, whom she married last year, family, her rescue pup, Zena, and a virtual support group created by Cleveland Clinic for long haulers.
And other people would be like, I'm going through the same thing. It just gave me like chills to know that, hey, like they're not alone, neither am I.
It's very isolating and lonely, and so having this support group is a way for them to connect with people and feel validated.
For now, Samantha continues to lean on her support system and continues talking with other long haulers diagnosed with Lyme disease post-COVID. She fights to get better every day.
This is so debilitating, and it's changed my whole life. And hopefully one day it can be put in my past. Are you done?
Now to our expert to shed some light on a disease that continues to rear its ugly head even today. Joining me now is Dr. William Lago, who is the medical director of the Cleveland Clinic COVID Recover Clinic. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We still have so many questions about long COVID. For people who forgot all about COVID, and bless them for doing that, but what is long COVID?
Long COVID, like a lot of other viral infections, is one that patients can develop after they've had the initial COVID infection. Basically, the definition continues to expand. In fact, they just came up with new guidelines where basically someone has had COVID and then develops a number of persistent symptoms that can last sometimes for years, hopefully for months, but not always. And the symptoms are very varied. They can be often disabling. We know that it can group into a number of different areas. So we'll see people with brain fog, fatigue, dizziness, fast heart rates, stomach issues, obviously the taste and smell that everybody associates with the initial COVID infections. There's a number of wide variety of symptoms, but we're still trying to figure out all the ins and outs of what causes it and how to treat it, but we definitely know that it's a syndrome that's developed.
Is there one common symptom that you see most?
The fatigue is probably one of the biggest things, but everybody has their own story. So, I think most of the folks have exertional intolerance, fatigue, brain fog, but it varies. Everybody's different.
There's no common denominator, though, other than they all had COVID.
They all had COVID.
Wow. Is there, any risk factors involved?
If you look at some of the varied studies, they think that folks that are more at risk for contracting COVID may perhaps get it more often. So those that have, heavier chronic health problems, older, certainly are more at risk. But one of the things that we found even with our clinic and in the numerous studies that have been done worldwide is that anybody can get it, from kids to adults. So even healthy people who had very minimal forms of COVID can get it.
So one of the things that concerned me most when I saw this is that women seem to be more likely to develop long COVID.
Yeah, some of the studies actually show that women are probably a little bit more likely. Although again, we've seen it across all spectrums.
When we're talking people developing long COVID, at least in the States, how many are we talking about?
It varies with the reference that you look at. I've seen anywhere from 10 to 35%. Of people who have had COVID infections still report at least one symptom roughly a month later. There was recently a U.S. Census report that actually indicated with that, and this is people self-reporting, so approximately 14% of all adults in the U.S. reported that they had had long COVID at some point. Currently close to 7% are reporting that they have long COVID.
Of those folks, has it been like people having to go on disability? Is it that bad that they've had to quit their jobs?
It varies. We have people within our clinic who've never been able to go back to work really since the onset of the pandemic. The severe fatigue, the brain fog, the problems with all the issues that they're facing, we've had folks that even simple tasks like walking to the mailbox, prepping dinner, taking care of their family becomes a chore. So they're certainly becoming disabled from it. Some people have very minimal courses and it gets better within a few months, but there are people that so far it's been lasting for years.
What about hope? What about treatment?
Treatments, we're still not there yet. The biggest thing that I tell everybody is we know that long COVID is real. We're still looking for the cause. There's a lot of ideas out there. If you look into the research, there are numerous ideas and numerous studies that are going worldwide to try and figure it out. Treatment-wise, there is a myriad of, quote, cures that you can find on the internet. Right now, there is nothing that we have seen drug-wise that definitively will treat non-COVID. So the long COVID, one of the first things I tell everybody is, I can't give you a magic pill to get you feeling better. But what we've found, at least for instance within our clinic, is that clinics that employ using a number of specialists to try and attack each of the individual problems that people have seem to help. So for instance, if I know that somebody has dizziness, then I'll get you to a dizziness specialist within the Cleveland Clinic who can then help to treat those symptoms. If you're having brain fog, we'll make sure that there's nothing else that's causing the brain fog, because not all that causes brain fog is long COVID. And then we try and improve that as we go. And the biggest thing is with a lot of folks, if you give it enough time, it will eventually improve.
The simplest thing people can do, I mean, are we talking back to basics? We're just getting back to changing your diet?
Yeah, and one of the biggest improvements that we've had, for instance, our wellness department has been instrumental in helping with a lot of our patients. They'll talk to them about diet. They'll talk to them about supplements. They'll work with them in trying to improve all that, because it's basic health improvements make a big difference. So they've had a lot of success with our patients.
People with cardiovascular issues, are they higher risk?
They're higher risk. Yeah, just like any of the other problems, people with heart problems and lung problems and cancers, and they, you know, like with COVID itself, they're more likely to contract it, so therefore they're more likely to get issues.
So one of the things I'm concerned about as a woman and one who's had COVID is the studies that keep indicating that we may see women especially developing earlier onset Alzheimer's, and especially when you see these folks with brain fog that doesn't seem to go away. What are your biggest concerns when you see 4,500 people and more coming into a long COVID clinic?
The biggest thing I tell everybody is, you know, what I've told my patients since the pandemic is, new diseases don't come with an instruction booklet. And so we don't know where we're headed with this disease. 20 years from now, are we gonna see people with long-term neurologic deficits, with kidney problems, with heart problems that have developed since this disease was there? If you think about it, viral diseases in particular can do that. Look at shingles. You get chickenpox as a child, 80 years later, you can develop a painful rash that can be disabling. Viruses can do strange things, and we are still very, very early in this disease course if you think about how long we've had compared to other diseases that we face.
What are the obstacles you're facing?
Part of it, obviously, early on was funding, getting insurance companies to accept it, to pay for the testing, getting people to buy in. Even within the medical community, this is a disease that I don't have an identifiable biomarker, so I can't draw blood and say, yes, you have long COVID. I don't have a medicine I can treat it with. So even within the medical community, it's tough to treat. It's tough to diagnose. How do you differentiate fibromyalgia from chronic fatigue syndrome, from long COVID? It's tough to differentiate it. So getting people to buy in, some of these folks have been struggling, and disinformation, I think, is an issue too, because a lot of folks, instead of coming and talking to their primary care physician, talking to those of us in the medical community, they're looking at a lot of these studies that tell us you need to look a little bit deeper into these areas, and assuming that that's going to be the answer to their problems, and it's not. We see those people coming to the Recover Clinic after they've already invested thousands of dollars and months and years trying to get better and getting nowhere.
So when should someone look into the Recover Clinic?
So typically what I tell most folks is, you know, if you've had COVID or likely COVID, you've been ill, you haven't felt well, you know, obviously in my own primary care practice, you can see that those symptoms will last at least a month. So give yourself time to get better. If it still continues, then see your primary care doctor and try and work those issues up. Because again, not all that we assume is long COVID is. A lot of other problems can mask as that. If it's getting persistent, you're getting, you know, 2-3 months and you haven't improved, then those are the points where you can either self-refer to a long COVID clinic like ours, where you can have your provider do it. And then again, get checked out.
Are we still seeing long COVID with these newer variants?
So far, yeah. I mean, I think the numbers have declined a little bit, but certainly we're still seeing both new and old patients within our clinic confines.
It's interesting, though. I'm wondering if these newer variants are happening to people who've had the older variants as well or no?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of people that have had multiple infections. And it seems like with a lot of them, sometimes that repeated infection will make the symptoms a little worse, and then they'll kind of go back to their baseline. And some people, it actually just builds on it, and it gets worse and worse.
Wow. So give me some hope for people.
Right now, there's a lot of investigations going on. Even within the Recover Clinic, we're going to be recruiting for a National Institute of Health study. That has a number of multiple arms. The first one that's going to be coming out actually involves the drug Paxlovid, which we use for new cases of COVID. So for those folks, they're going to either receive Paxlovid, a combination of that and a placebo or a placebo drug, and they're going to be studied over about 6 months. And what we're trying to do is to see if, number one, does that 25-day course make a difference in their long COVID symptoms? Does that give us an indication that perhaps the virus's persistent viremia is the problem? And then where do we go from here? There are also two other arms that the Cleveland Clinic is going to be involved with, that members of our Recover Center are going to be working on, that also work on the autonomic nervous system, which is the control system that controls dizziness and heart rate and blood pressure, and then also one that has to do with the chronic fatigue and the exertion and the rehab components. In addition, we have a basic science portion of our practice that also does blood draws and is looking for those biomarkers, is looking for the proteins that have to do with long COVID. So there's research not even just going on here, there's going on worldwide. We have seen with a lot of folks that if we use this comprehensive approach where they come in, we break it down into the various components and try and make a big difference in their lives, a lot of our folks will get better. A lot of them, given enough time, will improve. So the biggest thing of it for most of my folks when they come in is they're just thankful to find a place where somebody says this is real and that we can improve things. And the other thing I tell everybody is, in medical time, if you think about it, my bread and butter as a family medicine physician is diabetes and hypertension. We've known about those diseases for ages. They're still improving their treatments as we speak. This is the same thing. We've only had a few years with this disease. So once we can get a handle on a biomarker or the cause, then we can start to actually attack it.
From everything you've seen, from the hundreds and thousands, literally, of patients you've seen, do you still get your COVID vaccine?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
I think if you look at the basic science, the biggest thing that I tell folks is there's a lot of politicization that went into the COVID vaccine. To me, it's still a medical issue. The basic science still supports its use. It's like every other vaccine. No vaccine is foolproof. And if you look at the initial studies, particularly in regards to long COVID, they do seem to show that people who have had their vaccine have less likely of developing the infection. The other thing is having been in private practice nearly 30 years, I have never seen a viral infection that did what it did to my patient population. It devastated my patients. So if I can do something to help prevent them from getting ill, from preventing me from getting ill, from preventing my family from getting ill, I'm gonna do it.
Of your patients in the Recover Clinic, how many were vaccinated?
I don't know that we've actually delved into it. I would still say a lot of them haven't been. Some of them are hesitant to. And if you look at it too, there's been some early studies early on that showed that people who have had the vaccine, actually there are some that report that their symptoms improve after getting it. For what it's worth.
Food for thought.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Lago, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Still ahead, the impact of long COVID in children and what parents need to watch out for. About 6 million children in the U.S. might be living with the post-COVID-19 condition. There's a new first-of-its-kind study looking at the impact of this condition in children. And the biggest takeaway is the difference in long COVID symptoms in kids versus adults. This study is from the National Institutes of Health. In kids ages 6 to 11, researchers found the most common symptoms were headache, trouble with memory, and stomach pain. Adults more often dealt with fatigue, dizziness, brain fog, and loss of taste and smell. But symptoms alone can't diagnose long COVID. So if your child has lingering issues, experts say see a doctor. A study by the Brookings Institute shows lost wages due to long COVID are adding up to, get this, about $170 billion per year. The study found that 2 to 4 million people in the U.S. are working less or not at all because of persistent health issues following COVID. 3 years ago, a COVID diagnosis almost took away one runner's chance to ever run again.
Every day I'll run like a couple miles. Sometimes it's 2 in the morning, sometimes 1 in the afternoon. I run a little bit every day. I don't run a lot of bit every day.
In May of 2020, Powell came down with COVID-19 early in the pandemic. A nurse practitioner, she said she was working on the front lines of the pandemic when the virus hit home. She was briefly hospitalized, then relied on oxygen at home for nearly a full year.
And so in the beginning of the pandemic, it was like, oh, I'm healthy. I got this. And yeah, didn't realize that COVID did not discriminate. I couldn't walk across my house, so I couldn't take 10 feet, let alone 100 feet in the beginning without just being completely exhausted. I had no appetite. I lost 30 pounds.
After months of recovery and rehab, Powell began to walk, then later run with oxygen assistance and eventually without it. Her message to long haulers, you can get better. That'll do it for this edition of Prescription for Life. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next week with another dose. Until then, I'm Monica Robbins wishing you and yours good health.
Thank you so much for tuning into Health Yeah. Please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Monica Robbins. Like and follow my Facebook page, Monica Robbins WKYC. Find video podcasts at Monica Robbins channel on YouTube. And please subscribe. Wishing you great health and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update. And find more on everything you heard here on WKYC.com and on the WKYC app.